How about there? Hey. Oh, is it? Well, she wasn't here, so I thought I'd go ahead.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning.
Jeff, you forgot that I had the last word. Hey, nice girdle, by the way. I just wanted to let you know that. Kind of riding a little high, but it, you know, that's good. So. We've told you guys before that Carlene and I have two children. We have a 28-year-old daughter and a 25-year-old son. And I love my kids. They're awesome. I love them. And when my son was younger, and I'm not quite sure how old he was, and I shared this in our Wednesday night class a couple weeks ago, so bear with me for those who suffered through it then. But there was a period of about 6 or 7 years that he never grew. And he's about this tall, and he was just a little wiry little guy. And he weighed 42 pounds for like 6 or 7 years. I mean, he just never grew. Which was a good thing. He didn't outgrow any clothes, so he actually wore them out before we passed them on to somebody else. So I don't really remember how old he was. I just remember he was just that size. And there was this particular day that he was with me, and we were leaving the house together. We were going somewhere. I don't remember where we were going. And so he goes ahead, and he walks out the door, and I'm locking the door, and he's walking towards my pickup. And the house we lived in at the time, I had enclosed our carport and made a bedroom out of it. So our sidewalk that led to the carport, the driveway, bordered that bedroom. And so he's walking towards the pickup, and I get the door locked, and I turned around, and I start to step his direction. And when he gets to the corner of that bedroom, he meets this German Shepherd dog face to face that I've never seen before. And it was a big dog, and he was basically staring this German Shepherd in the eye. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, this dog's going to eat my son right here in front of me. And so he's just kind of frozen, and I wanted to move his direction, but I didn't want to startle the dog, so I just kind of stood there to see what was going to happen. And the dog gave a little woof, one of those kind of sounds, and that was all my son needed to hear. And so he turns, and I'd taken a step or two his direction, and he turns and he starts towards me. And so I'm kind of bent over like this, waiting to scoop him up when he runs and jumps in Dad's arms. And we've all heard these stories about people doing bizarre things under stress and duress. And so what I'm fixing to tell you, I'm not exaggerating a bit. This is exactly what happened, okay? He was terrified. And I'm waiting there for him to jump in my arms for me to scoop him up. And he's 10 or 12 feet away. And he takes two or three steps, and he jumps. And the next thing I know, he's on top of my head. I kid you not. And so instead of me grabbing him here, I'm trying to keep him from falling off. He's on my head. He's on my shoulders. And I'm thinking, that was awesome, son. How did you do that? And But it was true. It happened that way. The dog ran off, and I never saw the dog again. But I was thinking about, how did he do that? You know, I was thinking, man, if a track coach would have seen that, you know, what kind of track career that boy would have had. But the reason he was able to do what he did was because he was controlled by something. And what he was controlled by was fear. Fear had a grip on him. And it was such a part of what was going on at the time, he was able to do something supernatural because he was filled with fear. He was controlled by fear. Now, I want to use that example, that analogy this morning for us spiritually. I mean, if we're born-again believers in God, God's Word says that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, and he dwells inside of us to control us. And we need to allow him to do that. And he should be able to control us in such a fashion that we do things supernaturally. You know, same principle. We ought to be able to, as we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we ought to be able to do things that are not natural. Now, I'm convinced of several things. I'm convinced that the church struggles, not necessarily our church, but the church as a whole, they struggle because there's a lack of control of the Holy Spirit in people's lives, and there's a lack of control of the Holy Spirit in the church. And I think that's been the struggle for centuries. It seems like church life, people are just doing life out of the flesh. They're not allowing the Holy Spirit to control them and fill them. And I'm convinced that the fussing and fighting that takes place in churches, the personal agendas that takes place in churches, the church splits for the most part, the reason that the divorce rate is higher and greater inside the church than outside the church is that we're not walking as a church. We're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit to control us. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us. And it's for our good that we allow Him to do that. Now, I hesitated to preach on this morning because this is something Jeff could spend 5 or 6 weeks on. And there's so much to try to unpackage when we start talking about the Holy Spirit. He's kind of a mystery to us. And I started not to even do this, but God didn't give me anything else to share. So this is what we're going to do this morning. And so what I want to do, I just want to spend a little bit of time on some basic theology about the Holy Spirit that I think that's important. And hopefully we can grasp onto this and maybe allow the Holy Spirit to control us. And I ask you this morning, who's in control of your life? If you're a born-again believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Who's in control? I have to ask myself that same question. Am I allowing Him to control me on a daily basis? Or am I in control of my circumstances? Am I exerting control in my daily walk with the Lord? But before we get into that, let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your love. Holy Spirit, we just absolutely adore You. We yearn and long for Your presence here this morning. I know You're here, Father. You promised that You'll be here. But I just ask that You manifest Your presence in our midst. And Holy Spirit, come and teach us and show us who You are. A little, maybe a greater glimpse of who You are. Help us not to fear You. Help us to embrace You. Help us to allow You to work through us. Help us to allow You to control us. We just love You and we thank You for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Just basic theology about the Holy Spirit, basic biblical principles about the Spirit of God. Everybody find your sermon notes sheet, everybody. Blank again. I'm sorry. One of these Sundays, I'm going to surprise you and actually fill that out. But if you want to take notes, feel the freedom to do that. There's three things I'd like to speak about this morning about the Holy Spirit. The first thing that I would like to talk about is that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. Let's look at John 16, 12 through 15. It'll be on the screen. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes. This is Jesus talking. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is Mine and make it known to you. The Holy Spirit is a person, and Jesus says He is. Okay, He says that He will guide us into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Him, to Jesus Himself. And I think sometimes we think probably the Holy Spirit's more like an influence. I don't know if you think that or not, but I think sometimes we think He's more like some kind of force field or some kind of fog or some kind of mist, perhaps. And maybe it's because we can't really maybe tangibly see in Scripture where He can be touched and felt and dealt with. I mean, we look at the beginning of the book in Genesis that God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters, brooding over the waters. So it doesn't look like a person there. And then we can look in the book of Revelation in the end of the book, and when John received the revelation from Jesus Christ, he was caught up into the throne room, and he actually saw God the Father on the throne, and he saw elders seated around the throne, and there was these four living, weird living creatures in the middle of the throne, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And a lamb as if was slain was there. And then there's something strange. He said there were seven lampstands that were also there, which are is the sevenfold Spirit of God, or the Holy Spirit of God. That was the only way that John was able to depict the Holy Spirit. It was symbolized by being lampstands. So it's easy to come to the conclusion that the Holy Spirit is maybe just an influence of some sort. But I think it's very important that we come to understand that he is a person. And the reason is because we can't relate to an influence. We can't have a relationship with an influence. We can't have a relationship with some kind of force field. I mean, we can't really converse to that and have it converse back to us and help us and teach us. I mean, we've got to come to the realization that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. Second thing about the Holy Spirit is that he lives inside of us. He's a person, and he lives inside of us. Let's look at John 14, 15 through 20. This is Jesus talking again. "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you in the person of Jesus Christ, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, Jesus is in the Father, and you are in me. We are in Christ as believers in Christ, and I am in you in the person of the Holy Spirit." Now, people had when Jesus was born and lived on the earth and the Holy Spirit came, people begin to have a unique relationship with the Holy Spirit in that he actually started indwelling people. Theologians may disagree on this, but up to that point, it seems like the Holy Spirit, when he was active in the Old Testament, that it was more of an, I don't want to use the word influence, but I'm going to. He was a person, but he was influencing people from the outside inward. And then when Jesus said he's going to send this helper to be in us, then the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us as a person, and he changes us from the inside out. Now, that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit hasn't been active ever since the beginning of time. We saw that he was involved in creation. He was hovering, or that I love that old King James word, brooding. I don't know what that means. I guess that means hovering. But he was brooding over the waters. But we also see a number of examples of his influence where he came upon certain people for certain instances, for certain tasks, maybe, perhaps, and for certain periods of time. When the Jewish people were building the tabernacle, building that worship center that they used in the desert for 40 years, building all the implements that went along with the tabernacle in the outer court, Moses was in God's presence, and he gave him exact instructions how to build that. Exact dimensions, exact materials, exact colors. They were to hang curtains up, and they had to have so many rings, a ring ever so many feet. And I didn't know Moses was writing that stuff down or not. I mean, how do you remember all that? God said, build it exactly like that. It can't be any different than that. And so what God did, he had the Holy Spirit come upon several people in the community and give them the wisdom and the ability to build that. And so the Holy Spirit was active there. Outwardly, influence outwardly. Samson, when he slayed a lot of Philistines on a number of occasions, and God's word says that the Holy Spirit came on Samson. He took the jawbone of a donkey one time and killed a thousand men with the jawbone of a donkey because the Holy Spirit came upon him. King Saul had the Holy Spirit come on him and then leave, and a evil spirit took his place. There was an instance where King Saul was going to harass David, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And it's kind of weird, but he basically stripped off his clothes and he laid under a tree and he prophesied all day. And I don't know if that's just weird to me. But anyway, why would he do that? The Holy Spirit came upon him. It's the only explanation for that. King David, when he was anointed by Samuel to be king in 1 Samuel 16, it says that the Holy Spirit came upon him from that day forward. And we know the life of David. I mean, gosh, through the influence of the Holy Spirit, he wrote, you know, most of the Psalms, just the cry of his heart, because God's Spirit was involved in his life, outwardly influencing him on the inside. Now, if the Holy Spirit is a person and he lives inside of us, do you think we should know that? Do you think we should be able to detect that? I mean, I'm just asking. Do you think we should be able to? Or is his relationship with us just, you know, every 15 years he may give us goosebumps or something? Or give us some kind of just a little bit of wisdom every 5 or 6 years? Do you think that's what God had in mind when he had this person, the Holy Spirit, dwell inside of us? Almighty God himself, Creator God, lives in us. And we don't even know it. I went 8 years without even knowing that. I may go 2 or 3 weeks without even sensing his presence, but I believe with all my heart that we can know, that we can feel him. It doesn't make any sense to me that we can't, because he's God. I mean, David, even though David was influenced by the Holy Spirit from the outward inward, he says in Psalm 51:11, he says, "Do not." This is after David struggled in his sin and he failed. He said, "Do not cast me from your presence, or please do not take the Holy Spirit away from me." David had some kind of relationship with the Holy Spirit that he knew he needed that. And I believe he could feel him. And I believe we can anticipate feeling him. I feel him this morning. And I ask God, you know, I don't want to stand, I don't have much to offer you guys. I really don't. In the flesh, I don't have much to offer. And I said, God, I don't want to get up there unless I sense your presence, unless the Holy Spirit's active in what goes on here this morning. And so I believe we can feel him. I believe we can. I believe we can know he's there. So the Holy Spirit's a person that lives inside of us. And the third point is that he is given to us to help us. He's given to us to help us. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures out of John. Scripture on the screen is going to be NIV, but I'm going to read this from the New American Standard because I believe there's a word in here I want to use. It's actually a better interpretation of the original language, and that word's helper instead of counselor. John 14:16-17. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. And John 14:26 says, But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So the Holy Spirit is given to us as a person dwelling inside of us to help us. To help us live out this life of faith. And we cannot do it without him. We've got to have him. If God's going to be glorified, if God's going to be honored as we walk out our salvation with fear and trembling, the Holy Spirit has to be involved in that. Well, how does he help us? That's a good question. I'm glad you asked that. Let me share a couple of ways he helps us. And you can jot these down if you'd like. First of all, he convicts us. That sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it? He convicts us. He convicts us, allows us to repent and get things right with the Lord. This isn't an all-inclusive list, by the way. These are just some things I jotted down. He guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. We need that, don't we? Particularly in this day and time where truth is, you know, just whatever we think truth will be. He guides us into all truth. He enhances our prayer life. As a matter of fact, he takes over our prayer life if we'll let him. He said he intercedes for the saints of God according to the will of the Father. Sometimes we don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit enhances our prayer life. He gives counsel and wisdom. The NIV says that he's our counselor. He gives godly counsel, not worldly counsel, but he gives counsel and wisdom. He gives us the right words to say at the right time. He gives us the right words to say at the right time. Jesus told his disciples, he said, when you stand before the judges, you're going to be persecuted someday. He didn't say that, but that was the implication. When you stand before the courts, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say at that point. He gives us the right word to say at the right time. And he gives us the assurance of salvation. The assurance of salvation. The Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Okay? And he also gives us the assurance of eternal life. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, if we can actually know that we're saved for eternity or not. But that same verse says that, what did it say? What did I just say? Assurance of salvation. I'm trying to think of the verse. It just left me. Well, the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we're children of God. And if we're children, we're heirs, co-heirs, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. So I can believe we can know that we're saved. I believe we know that that can be for eternity as well. Now, with his help, we can have a life that is full of nine characteristics or the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I just want to share those with you real quick. We can live a life, if we're controlled by him, we can live a life of love, to where we just love people that are unlovable. We can do that. We can receive love back. We can live a life of joy. I've told you guys before, I struggle with joy. I mean, some people it comes easy. I gotta work it a little harder. We can live a life of joy. We can live a life of peace. Gosh, what would this world give for peace? They're looking for that in so many different things, so many different arenas. They're trying to satisfy themselves, get some sense of peace. But with the Holy Spirit living inside of us as a person, we can have peace. Patience is another one. I struggle with patience. I really do. You get me behind the wheel of a vehicle, I'm a totally different person. I guarantee you. If you see me, please don't get in my way. Because I don't want to get upset with you, because nobody can drive as good as I can, and I'm always in a hurry, and so y'all pray for me. Patience is a struggle for me. I leave it at home just for that reason. You know? Patience. We can be patient. Kindness. You know, we can be kind in our spirit towards people instead of being maybe rough and harsh with people. Goodness will be part of our life. We'll be full of that. Faithfulness. I don't know if you struggle with faithfulness or not. Faithful to a spouse, maybe. Faithful to a job. You know, faithful to the church. Faithful to Jesus Christ. Faithful to a commitment you've made to serve in ministry. If we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, faithfulness will just come easy. But we can be faithful to those things we've committed to. Self-control, just being able to control ourselves in regard to some sin patterns we've struggled with maybe in the past. And gentleness is another one, gentleness. So if the Holy Spirit lives inside of us as a person, he's there to help us. And that's the kind of life we can live if we will allow him to control us, if we will submit to him. About 14 years ago, our children wanted pets. And so we thought, well, what can we get them? We wanted to get them something easy and something that we could maintain and didn't have to spend a lot of time maintaining. So we thought we'd do fish. I don't know if we got any fish people in the crowd at all. But Christmas was coming up, and we decided we was going to buy this aquarium and you know, buy some fish and buy the food. And we did a lot of studying on it, to how to acclimate the fish to the water. You know, you got to kill the chlorine, then you got to put the fish that's in this the water that you buy the fish in this plastic bag, and you got to put that in the water they're going in, so they can the temperatures will equalize and you can acclimate them, you know, to the water. And so we did all that. Real proud of ourselves. Got up on Christmas morning before the kids, and the fish were floating on top of the water. And so I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know. So the kids get up and they come in there and they're really excited, and they come to the aquarium and look at the fish floating on top of the water. Dad, what's wrong with these fish? And I said, well, these are special fish. Yeah, they sleep a lot. They sleep a whole lot. And of course, they didn't buy that for a minute. But we tried another batch of fish, same result. Spent about $50 on fish, and And so we thought, what about dogs? Okay, let's try dogs. They're pretty more, they're self-sufficient. Let's try that. So we go to the animal shelter, and we go on two occasions. We pick out dogs for our kids, and we found these two. They were litter mates. They were pups, and the sign on their little cage they were in said Border Collie mix. And I'm thinking, if they don't know how to classify dogs, then they just say Border Collie mix, don't they? Basically. And so they didn't look anything like Border Collies. One looked like a German Shepherd, and the other had a little Chow in her. But they were sweet dogs, and they weren't making any noise both times we went. So I thought, let's get these dogs. And so we got the kids the dogs, and you know, we've had them 14 years. And like a lot of you parents can probably testify, when the kids move away, do the dogs go with them? No, they don't go with them. They stay. For the most part, they stay with the parents. So our dogs are getting old. And we had to put our son's dog down a couple weeks ago, Sugar. She just couldn't get around, couldn't function, looked like she'd had a stroke. And so we had to put her down. And Daisy, the little Chow mix, she's a sweet dog, she's still pretty vibrant. Except she's got some trouble with her hips, and we live in a pier and beam house. So in order for them to come up and get into the house, she's got to climb the steps. Now they stay outside at night; they sleep at night. We bring them in the mornings. We bring them in sometimes in the evenings, and then we put them to bed about 10 o'clock. Fred put them to bed about 10 o'clock, and for the last 2 or 3 months, she was really struggling with getting up the steps because her hips just hurt her, and she would. Basically just pace back and forth, sometimes for 15 minutes, just yelping a little bit, trying to get enough courage to make that leap and get up the steps. So Carlene had this goofy idea of building the dog a handicap ramp. Hey, Lee, you got that first picture? So there is our handicap ramp for our dog, Daisy. Second picture, Lee. Isn't that sweet? We're the only family in the Northern Hemisphere that has a handicap ramp for their dog, I'm sure. And Carlene said, well, I had it just kind of sitting out there in no man's land. And she said, let's slide it against the wall so she won't fall off. I said, okay. She said, let's put railing on the other side. I said, I'm not putting railing on the other side of that ramp. And she wanted a little sign with a dog under, with the crutches under her arms, I guess, the post, I don't know. But so in order for us to get Daisy in the house, I mean, she can't go up the steps, so we found out that if we'll take animal crackers or something, and if we just kind of, you know, make her a little trail, she will actually follow that trail up into the house. Now, if I don't do that, I would think she'd be smart enough just to know to go up that ramp. There it is. It's easier. You've done it 5, 6, 7 times. Just go up the ramp. Well, she can't make that connection. And so she continues just to kind of pace back and forth, trying to get up enough courage to go up the steps unless we bait her up the ramp. Animal crackers, yeah. But you know what? The reason I did that, and I've said for years that, you know, dogs are disposable. When you're done with them, you just, you know, get you another one. But I really become attached to them over the years. And I do that because I want to help her. I want to help her have the best quality of life she can have as long as she's around. She's vibrant. She just runs, and that's her only issue. And, you know, that's why the Holy Spirit's given to us, to help us through this life, if we'll let Him do it. You know, and seems like spiritually we're just pacing back and forth sometimes, trying to get the courage to make the next step. And the Holy Spirit's there saying, here's the easier way. If you allow me to lead you, if you allow me to guide you, control you. Now, He doesn't bait us with animal crackers, but He's there willing and wanting to help us, so wanting to help us if we'll let Him. If we'll let Him. Jordan, you guys come on up. Would you bow your heads with me, please? I don't know if this made any sense to anybody here this morning or not, but I hope it did. I pray that it maybe spurred one person on to maybe allow the Holy Spirit to do something different in their life. And I want to encourage all of us this morning, let's take a step His direction. Wherever we're at in this faith journey, let's take another step His direction. Let's trust Him. Let's trust Him. You know, we can continue to struggle, or we can continue by faith to allow Him to control us. Just trust Him this morning. Father, we love You, God. I just thank You for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. Such a mystery to us, but not a mystery to You. Lord, if You would have had another plan for salvation, You would have done something different. But Your plan was to let the Son die for us and then allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in us until Jesus takes us home. Help us to embrace that. Father, help us to embrace that. Holy Spirit, we so need You. For this church to be all it needs to be, we need You. And for us to be all we need to be individually, we need You. Help us this morning. Give us the courage to take a step Your direction. And do that so that the Son can be magnified and that the Father can be glorified. You never draw attention to yourself. You always draw attention to Jesus. Precious Holy Spirit. Help us this morning. Help us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we continue to worship, the altar is open. If you need to pray with somebody, grab myself or Jeff or one of the prayer team, and let's worship the Lord.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. My Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as You find me, all my fears and failures, and fill to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. My Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered. Jesus conquered the grave.
shine your light and let the whole world see. Sing it for the glory of the risen King.
My Jesus,
shine your light and let the whole world see.
We're
singing for the glory of the risen King.
My Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
My
Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
He rose and conquered the grave.
Jesus conquered the grave.
He rose and conquered the grave.
Jesus conquered the grave.
Everybody say amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Jesus said that it was for our benefit that He went away. If He didn't leave, then the Holy Spirit wouldn't come. I want to encourage you from Scripture to pursue Him today and tomorrow. I'm doing the same. We've had a really good Wednesday night study where we're pursuing the Holy Spirit. Nothing weird's happened yet, but we're pursuing the Holy Spirit. Not anticipate anything weird, but it's just practical, biblical Christianity. That's our walk with the Lord, and we need Him. Allow Him to control you, okay? You guys have a blessed day.
Shine your light and let the whole world see. Sing it for the glory of the risen King.
Jesus,
shine your light and let the whole world see. Sing it for the glory of the risen King.